If you have spent some time talking to Tom, our youth director, Tom Hogle, after the Common Ground tours that go to Southern California, you might have heard him talk about one of the places that they have visited at least once, maybe several times. And it is a program in L.A., just real close to Chinatown in Los Angeles, called Homeboy Industries. Maybe you've heard him talk about it, maybe you haven't. And this organization is dedicated to helping recently released folks who have been incarcerated for various reasons, to teach them job skills, but it's more than that, to bring them into a community of love and support. They also work with ex-gang members as well. So it's more than just a work program. It is a labor of love that changes lives kind of day by day. Now, what's interesting about this wonderful program, and I would even encourage you to go to their website to see all that they do. You just do a web search. It really impressive stuff. But this past week, I ran across an article about this organization. But what was more fascinating about it was that there was a video of one of their financial supporters, and it was the actor and comedian Jim Carrey. Now, maybe you know who Jim Carrey is, and maybe you don't, but he's the guy who's been in movies like Dumb and Dumber and Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, kind of really silly stuff. And the thing about this is he's not known, at least I didn't know, to be a person of faith. He's more apt to do pratfalls and comedy and that kind of stuff. But he is a supporter of Homeboy Industries, and he had come over to pay a visit, and this is, like I said, last month, to talk to not only the employees, but those who are involved in the program, in that community. And the video of him speaking to these people left me dumbstruck. Because some of the things that he said, and I want to quote some of the things that he said in this video. And if you want to hunt it down, the video is available online. That's where I saw it. And I wasn't looking for it. I just ran across it. And he said to these people, he said, this room full of all these people, a part of Homeboy Industries, that this room is filled with God. And that you had entered into these doors and that you had embraced this community and you made the courageous decision to leave darkness behind, because a lot of these people have really rough pasts. And then he goes on to say that suffering can lead to salvation. Not to deny suffering, but to actually feel when something doesn't go right, to feel it and to experience it and to acknowledge it and not to stuff it and hide it away. He said, because once you acknowledge suffering, you'll either make one of two decisions. This is Jim Carrey speaking. We either make the decision to enter through the gates of resentment, and once we do that, then it'll lead to vengeance, than to self-harm and quite possibly harming of other people. That is one possibility. He said, or we can enter the gate of forgiveness, which leads to grace. And then he points out that by you being here at Homeboy Industries, you've made that decision already. But he didn't end there. He went on to talk about the fact that when Christ was dying on the cross, in those moments of pain and suffering and loneliness, he made the decision not to enter through the gates of resentment, to give vent to full vengeance, even though he had every right to. Instead, he chose forgiveness and grace as he said to those people, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, I'll be honest with you. I never expected anything as profound as that to ever come out of Jim Carrey's mouth. But he's dead on. I mean, think about it. What happens when you get lemons instead of lemon meringue pie? What do? You get resentful, turns to vengeance. you did this to me and I didn't want this and I can't believe. And in the process, you get worked up and you could hurt yourself, whether it's emotionally or spiritually or mentally or even physically possibly. And then you want to turn that onto the other person. You know, woe the day they crossed me. Because that's a choice when there's suffering in our lives. Even when it's self-inflicted, meaning not the damage, but the bad mistake when I serve myself lemons instead of lemon meringue pie. There is always collateral damage, even when you hurt yourself with bad decisions, because the people close to you will feel the havoc wreaked on you. Or the other choice of not acknowledging suffering or to engage in it, to be aware of it, is also equally as bad. Regardless of who's at fault, you play the victim card. You know, I'm an innocent, I'm a saint, I'm a martyr, I don't deserve this, and it's always someone else's fault. Or you could choose to enter through those gates of forgiveness to find the ability to let things go. Not forget. That forgive and forget thing is not real at all. I can remember the people who wronged me in high school. But I choose to let it go. Because I don't want to let an incident or an accident rule my life. And I don't want that to happen for you either. I mean, essentially, we get into trouble or someone causes trouble, and we can either blame someone else always and never acknowledge it and play the victim, see yourself as unredeemable because I made such a horrible mistake, or to choose to forgive, because either one of those will keep forgiveness and grace away. Because when you play the martyr, when you play the victim, woe is me, you're never able to let things go because you're constantly pointing fingers. You're never able to move on because the card you play is always, look at how sad I am. But here's the thing about forgiveness. It may take a while to get there. Forgiveness can be a process depending on how bad the situation is. And even when you make that choice, it may take a while to live into it. And God often works in the process, and it's usually not an overnight thing. Remember, God has all the time that he needs. But it also points to a spiritual truth in Scripture from Ecclesiastes. The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. In other words, the Bible says, hey, look, it's not how things begin that's most important, it's how they end. And sometimes that requires patience because things aren't settled in a day. However, notice the other word, pride. If we choose pride, we tend to lash out. Who do they think they are? They're messing with the wrong person. Resentment and vengeance creeps in that then leads to harm, and that's not the way anyone wants to finish. But that all that is a long intro into a story of two brothers, of what happens when neither of them will let forgiveness rule. And we talk about Jacob and Esau. We heard a little bit from Jacob and Esau this morning. They are the grandsons of Abraham, the father, the patriarch of the Jewish people, and our spiritual father as well. Jacob and Esau's father was Isaac, the second born to Abraham. And God let it be known that the promise of a future nation would be built on Isaac and his descendants, the second born, not the expected firstborn. And so he was given what they call in the Old Testament the birthright, not only to be the head of the family as the second born, which is uncommon, but this second born birthright will then carry into building a nation through this family. So Isaac gets married and he has a wife named Rebekah, and when she was pregnant, she found out that she was giving birth to twins. And they caused her all sorts of undue pain because they fought in the womb. They fought terribly in the womb. And so she called out to God for help, and God said to her, look, these two are going to be fighters, but the older one would eventually serve the younger one. So Jacob and Esau were born, and when Esau was born first, who would normally have the birthright, he came out, and it says in Scripture that he came out and that he was hairy from birth, and that he had red hair. And so he was named Esau, which is Hebrew for red and hairy. Jacob, when he was born, you can see in the little picture there, he was holding on to Esau's ankle as if to pull him back in so that he could be born first. And so he was named Jacob, which means the deceiver. What a great way to name your children. I mean, if I had the ability to rename my children, makes me think. So they're born, and things don't go well. Jacob, as they grow up, deceives his brother Esau by stealing the birthright from him. Long story, not today. It's a great story, though. And this was the promise to be the head of the family one day and have the nation built on you. And he tricks his brother into kind of essentially selling it to him. Esau was so angry about this that he wanted to kill his brother, because with only one son left, guess who the birthright goes back to? So the incident led to resentment, which blossomed into vengeance, which was quickly moving to harm. And Jacob did not have a problem living up to his name, deceiver. He doesn't have any regrets about this. He doesn't blink an eye about running away from his troubles and deceiving other people throughout his life. And it's not hard to think about Jacob saying, well, what's wrong with my brother? You know, I would never kill anyone. He's out of control, and I have to leave because of him. Otherwise, I'd stay put. And if you know anything about Jacob, and even if you don't, I'm going to tell you, this is just the tip of the iceberg of all the things that he did in his life. He does this throughout his life. It's not an isolated incident. Both of them are train wrecks. Both of them. And so on the run, you hear that he reached a certain place, and he stopped for the night because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones there and he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. And he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and angels were ascending and descending on it, and there above it stood the Lord. And in that, God speaks to Jacob and says, this nation, this birthright that you now have, a nation will be built through you, from Abraham to Isaac, and now to you, Jacob. And when he woke up, he knew immediately that God had spoken to him, and it wasn't the jalapeno and pepperoni pizza that he had late last night from Domino's. He knew it wasn't just bad digestion. He didn't say, wow, that was a crazy dream. He knew that God was speaking to him. Now, here's the thing. There is dispute on what does this ladder from heaven and on earth, angels descending and ascending. And there's not uniform agreement on what this means, except one theme: God is close. That God isn't distant or removed from the world, but he is connected to us, and that he cares what is happening, and he's ever present and an influencing presence in our lives. So Jacob heard what God had planned for him, and he knew this was a special moment and a special place. And he set up this monument, and he renamed that place Bethel, the house of God. That's what that means. Now, I would love to tell you that after this amazing vision, Jacob changed his ways. And he became a model citizen and a model follower of God, and he never had a problem again, and he continued to struggle. But it's clear to me that God's plans for us isn't based on how good we are, and thank God for that. He did see that God was there, and not just in a place, I would tell you, but with him in his life and with us. And I'm thinking to myself, maybe Jacob's story is our story. We muddle through life. We know that God is present and cares for us even when we mess up, because we will. And yet God shows us forgiveness. God lets things go because of Christ, of course, and not showing vengeance. And when we do mess up, we can return to Bethel, the house of God, to be reminded of his love, and then to be told again the story again and again that God was able to let things go when we do things wrong, so that we should let things go, so that we might experience a lightening of our load in this journey of life. Because forgiveness is more about us than the other person. It's good for us. But in order to do that, we must acknowledge that we need help, and we must also acknowledge that all of us are far from having our lives together, kind of like Jacob. Amen.